AFAstreaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. I was out yesterday, as loyal listeners will know, and Dr. Alex McFarland filled in for me. He always does such a great job. But the reason I was out is that I went to a basketball, high school basketball reunion for my head coach, Coach Norman Pache, and his wonderful wife, Donna, and his daughter, Lacey, and her four kids and her husband. They were all there. And the assistant coach, Jim Wells, and his wife, Pam, were there. They put it all together along with some of the players. And it was a gathering of the guys that played for Coach Pache in at Cypress Creek High School for a four-year period there. I was part of the first graduating class at Cypress Creek. I went to Cypress Creek High School in 1977, and I was a sophomore in high school, and it was a brand-new school. And so the school had sophomores, freshmen, and eighth graders going to it. And so every year we were the upperclassmen. We were the top of the heap and played varsity basketball when I was a junior. And then my senior year, we had a really good team. We went 29-6 and got beat in the semifinals of the regional tournament by Plano High School. And Plano went on to go to the finals and barely lost to Wheatley. The Wheatley Wildcats in 1980. So it was really a fun time getting to see all my old teammates and getting to spend some time with Coach Pache and just getting to reminisce. I thought about the famous song from the Little River Band. You probably remember this one.
We'll go dancing in the dark, walking through the park and reminiscing.
Reminiscing, it's fun to do, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. There's lots of things. We'll cover some things in the news in the second segment, but in this first segment, I just wanted to talk about making memories. You know, that's a word. Remember is a word used in the Bible over and over and over again. And the Lord tells us to remember, 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 remember. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you when I came the first time and died on the cross. And remember that I'm coming again, because as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. He is coming again. And so we remember that. And it is important to remember. Here's one of the problems that you and I have. We have a tendency to forget. You know, the Bible warns us about that. Don't forget. God says in the book of Deuteronomy to the people, after you go into the land that I'm giving you. Deuteronomy is what Moses shared with the people, the three sermons of Moses on the plains of Moab before they went into the promised land. He didn't get to go because he was being disciplined by the Lord for his disobedience, his striking the rock when God told him to speak to the rock. So he didn't get to go in. That was his last hurrah with the people. And he said in Deuteronomy 8, he said, listen, be careful when you go into the land and the Lord your God blesses you that you forget Him. And we all have a tendency to forget. And it is good to remember. And listen, moms and dads, it's important, especially at holiday time, at Christmas time, to build some traditions in with your family. We had Sunday night a tradition that we have at our church now is outdoor movie night. And we show Christmas movies, and we have popcorn and hot chocolate and just some fun stuff and some treats and things for the kids. And we encourage parents to bring their kids and bring their lawn chairs and their blankets. And we go outside and we rent a big screen and we watch movies. We had The Three Wise Men that was narrated by Andy Griffith. And we show movies like that. To just make a memory. Now, it was wet outside, so we weren't able to do outside. We had to bring it inside. But that was the first time we've had to bring it inside. But we encourage parents, hey, bring your children so that they can build a memory and look back and say, hey, look at what we did. You remember when we did this? You remember when we did that? And you don't have to have a lot of money to make memories with your kids, but it is important. And so I was so blessed to be able to get together with the guys and, you know, that time of life when you're a teenager and you're doing life with other guys and you're rubbing shoulders and you're going to battle, so to speak, as a basketball player and get on the court. And, hey, we're going to play these guys and D up these guys and fight these guys, you know, in basketball terms. And just the camaraderie that we have. My best friend outside of my relationship with Jesus and my wife is my friend Mike Lurch. He's been on this program before. But we played basketball together countless hours over the years. And playing with those guys was just a lot of fun. Now, we got to the microphone. We had a great dinner, and then we were toasting, so to speak, Coach Pache. And so we had a microphone there, and different people got up to the mic and just said nice things about him and what they learned from him. I said this. I said, you know, it's funny how you remember certain things. And Coach Pache was my coach in eighth grade, and ninth grade I went to Cypher High School, and they were building the new school, and so there was a split, and most of the kids went to the other school. I went to a different school, but then 10th grade we were all back together at the brand new school. And so he was my coach from 8th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. And in basketball, it's mainly the basketball coach. Football's different. Football, you have lots of coaches. You have a head coach, but you have lots of other coaches. In basketball, you don't. And so Coach Pache was really an important person in my life. And I said to the guys, I said, you know, it's funny what you remember. So all these years with Coach Pache, I said, one of the things that really stands out that he taught me, just in a throwaway sentence, isn't it funny how we can remember these little throwaway sentences? And he said this to me. He said, you know, it wasn't just to me. It was to, you know, three or four guys that were in the room. But he said, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice and kind to people. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people. And I had never forgotten that, because it's so true. You know, we live in a world where, as Jesus said, as we get closer to his return, that the love of people will grow cold, Matthew 24. And people aren't kind to one another. Just get on the roadways and see how unkind people are. And so being kind, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people, to be kind to people. And, you know, that's a good thing, especially this Christmas season. Be kind to people. I talked to a waitress a couple of weeks ago. Debbie and I were in Branson, and I always like to engage the server and talk to them and say, hey, can I pray for you about anything and what's going on in your life? And just let them know, hey, I care about you as a person. And I asked this waitress, a really sweet young girl, she was probably 18, 19 years old, and I said to her, I said, do you have people that you wait on that ask about your life? She goes, no. She is, they're just there ordering food and delivering food. And, you know, they're not necessarily rude, but they're not engaging to her. And I said, thought to myself, I said, what a great opportunity. You know, you kind of have a captive audience there with your server. And then you follow that up. Obviously, if you're going to use that as an opportunity to, can I pray for you? Hopefully open it up to share the gospel. Then you follow that up with a good tip. And so don't be cheap. You know, one of the key things on Sunday lunch for servers that work in the restaurant industry is they say, oh, that's the church crowd. And the church crowd is notorious for being cheap. That's terrible. God's people ought to be generous. We have a supply from the Lord and give, the scripture says, Jesus said, Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So let me just challenge you, especially this Christmas, a couple of different things. Number one, look to see what traditions, what memories you can start making memories with your family. And one of the things we do at Thanksgiving time is we always go around the table and we say, okay, what are you thankful for this year? And it can be a little uncomfortable sometimes. You know, some of the kids are like, oh, I don't want to do this. But it's important to do it. And, you know, your kids may balk at some of those things, but let me tell you, they love those things. So just like with Debbie and me when the kids were growing up, being demonstrative with each other, hugging on each other, kissing on each other, the kids would be like, oh, gross, get a room, you know, that kind of thing. And Debbie would always say, hey, we got a room. We own this house. But the kids love it when mom and dad are flirting with each other, when mom and dad are hugging each other and kissing each other. It gives them a sense of security. And they love it when they can remember together, especially if you have more than one child. They can remember as siblings. You remember growing up when we did this and we did that? You remember this Christmas? You remember the tradition that we did here and there and yon? Those things are important. As the song says, we'll go dancing in the dark, walking through the park and reminiscing. And so let me just encourage you to reminisce. And let me encourage you in your Christian life to spend time thinking about how the Lord saved you. You know, that's the thing that some people, if they look back on their lives, I remember teaching a class and we were talking about remembering how you came to know Christ. And this one guy was in the class, and we were talking about writing out your testimony, writing out your story of how the Lord saved you. And I said, now that's the assignment. You write that out in, you know, it's like page and a half, something like that, not get too elaborate. But this guy was in my class and that I was teaching at the church, and he said, I don't have a story. He said, I've never heard that before. I've just always been in church. And so he said, to write out my story, I didn't know what that was. And as he started thinking, he said, you know, I've never really received Christ. And we said that in the class. We said, you know, some of you may not have a before Christ, after Christ, a salvation testimony, because guess what? You've never been saved. And so when you look back on your life, you can't come up with anything. When did Jesus become real to me? Well, he's always been real to you. Or people would say, oh, I've always been a Christian. Anybody that ever tells you they've always been a Christian doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. Because a Christian is someone who repents and believes. You have to be old enough to understand that you're a sinner and you're lost to receive Christ, to see how desperately you need Christ. One of the things that was said about me by a guy that wasn't at the reunion on Sunday night, he told me one time, he goes, Shreve, you were the meanest guy in school. Now, I wasn't mean in terms of getting in fights. I didn't do that. But I was sharp-tongued, and we were sarcastic, and we would cut people down, and I was kind of the ringleader of some of that. And so he just talked about me being so mean. And I thought to myself, isn't that just like the Lord? To take one of the guys that was known as somebody so mean, if you had any kind of imperfection or anything in your clothing that day at school or whatever, he would just be merciless. To take that guy and change his life and call him to be a pastor and to encourage and share the word of God with others, that's just like the Lord. And I give him all the thanks and praise for that. So as you think about your life, Can you remember the day that you were redeemed? Can you remember how the Lord changed your life? Can you remember when you received Christ? And are you making memories with your family, with your kids, with your spouse? Are you doing things together as a family, even things that don't cost any money? Maybe just go out driving around, look at Christmas lights. It's important to remember. It's important to make those memories. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break, but we're coming right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And in this segment, we want to talk about the sanity and insanity report. What's going on in the world that is moving in the right direction, and moving in the direction of sanity? You know, we've been living in insanity for the last several years, as even liberal commentators have said. The Democrat Party and Democrat leadership have pulled the country so far to the left. Bill Maher, who is no friend of Christianity, has said, "Hey, this is insane," and he calls out, you know, letting biological males play female sports, and others have called that out. Piers Morgan has called that out. Along with many other things. It's kind of like the fringe of the Democrat Party just started taking over, and you know, you didn't want to be called transphobic or any of those things. And as I have shared before on this program, it seems like homosexuality is not even discussed anymore. It's just transgenderism and all those things. And you know, if you're not on the transgender train, then you're transphobic. But it's just incredible. Now, Anna Kasparian. She's a liberal commentator. She had this little clip where she was being interviewed, and she just exploded on the Democratic Party, exposing the issues that are there, the insanity that is there, and what is going on in these cities that are run by Democrats. This is what she, who's a liberal commentator, had to say.
When I look at my life right now and I ask myself, which political party has made my life worse? It's not the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Locally speaking, the Democrats have complete control and they have nearly destroyed my family's livelihood. Okay, we are living in trash and squalor everywhere. And unless the Democratic Party actually acknowledge these issues and solve these issues, rather than stealing our taxpayer money and funneling it to their nonprofit friends, they keep doing this, they're going to keep losing. And I'm going to keep speaking out against them. I don't care how much they hate Trump. I don't care how naughty the Republicans are being. Right now, the people having a negative impact on my life is the Democratic Party, and they need to change their ways. When we say we want to change the status quo, it doesn't mean we want to live in anarchy. It doesn't mean that we want to have $24 billion of our taxpayer money in California stolen by these nonprofits. It means that we want working people to be rewarded for their hard work. We want affordable housing. We want better working conditions, higher wages, better health care. These are things that Democrats used to purport to want to do. They don't do any of it anymore. And so yeah. I'm done with them until they change their ways.
Yeah, I completely understand it.
So she was on Piers Morgan talking about things. I can't imagine anybody disagreeing with that. Who doesn't want to have a society that's run by law and order? We don't want to have filth and squalor everywhere. We don't want to spend all this tax money on frivolous things that don't benefit the whole and don't benefit the masses. And that's kind of what we have, sadly, and the stats bear it out in these Democrat-run cities. So the sanity, insanity. I saw a clip from Mike Johnson, and he was talking about how the federal government, hopefully, is going to defund Planned Parenthood. Why in the world does Planned Parenthood get $670.4 million, according to the Heritage Foundation, from taxpayers? They're taking your money and my money to support Planned Parenthood that is an abortion mill. They can talk about all the other services they do. They exist to murder unborn babies. It's the most evil, gruesome, horrible organization on the planet. And they get money from the federal government. Well, this is what Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, had to say about that.
Remember, the Supreme Court overturned the Chevron doctrine, right? That's a game-changing kind of situation. Not in my lifetime.
Yes.
We had the opportunity to go in and really take back control from the administrative state. For a long time, they've been acting as judge, jury, and executioner on the rules that they make on industries and small business owners and the rest. So we have the ingredients, we have the conditions right now to actually be able to make really dramatic change. And we're going to go through and have those discussions, those brainstorms to see. But you're going to have willing partners in the House and Senate among the Republican
conferences. But you're also going to have so many people who are pushing back.
Oh, of course.
Donors, yeah. The lobbyists that I promised things to, they're not going to go for that. And I won't get reelected if I let you cross that off on our list. So what are you going to do about that?
Well, you're going to have a president that's bold enough to do it. You know, we have our own version of the Argentinian leader, right, with Donald Trump. And I've used the blowtorch analogy rather than a chainsaw, but it's all the same. We do have to scale back the size and scope of government. It serves the people. It unleashes the free market again. Our policy changes will be a part of that. But I think that if we can make some dramatic changes in downsizing the scale and scope of these things, we'll go a long way.
Two specific examples, Planned Parenthood and PBS, are in congressional control. Are you planning to axe both of those?
I would like to, that's for sure.
I would like to, that's for sure, said Mike Johnson. I would love to see Planned Parenthood get defunded. I would love to see Planned Parenthood go out of business. The murder of the unborn, make no mistake about it, the murder of the unborn is going to bring the judgment of God. That's what brought the judgment of God on his Old Testament people, is they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters in the fire to the false god Molech and Chemosh, and they'd place their babies in the arms of this false god, and the fire would consume them. King Manasseh did that with his own kids. It's sickening, and it is grotesque, and it is such an abomination to God that he's going to bring destruction. Now, I think, as I've said before, with the re-election of Donald Trump, the Lord is giving us he's giving us a reprieve, so to speak, an opportunity, kind of like Nineveh got. And hey, if we don't take advantage of this opportunity spiritually, Donald Trump can do things to create law and order again, but law and order doesn't bring anybody to heaven. It's the spiritual transformation that takes a person to heaven, and so we as Christians need to seize upon that. But law and order is necessary in order for everyone to function. If government doesn't function correctly, it's really hard to live in that kind of an environment. As the scripture says in Psalm 11, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Very, very difficult to live in a society where the foundations are destroyed, where Lady Justice has her blindfold removed, and everything is two-tiered and corrupt. So hopefully we're going to drain the swamp. The swamp is very deep and wide, but hopefully that will take place in these next 4 years. And so we need to pray for Donald Trump. I read an article today that said, you know, don't be surprised if somebody tries to kill him again before Inauguration Day, and I wouldn't be surprised at that. All right, back to the sanity and insanity. So I get updates from Todd Starnes. Todd is a friend of mine. He's preached at First Baptist Texarkana some years ago, and just a great guy. I really like Todd. Funny, and yet he's spot on. But he has an article that said, federal judge orders town to let drag queens march in Christmas parade. And this is Prattville, Alabama. It has a population of about 40,000 people. And initially they said, no, that the drag queens aren't allowed to be a part of that parade. And then he writes this, a federal judge ordered the Good Church Wearing People of Prattville, Alabama, to let drag queens participate in their annual Christmas parade. Apparently getting an entire month to celebrate the LGBT community is no longer good enough. Now they want to shove the baby Jesus out of the manger. and they're called this group that's doing this and wanting to have a part of the parade, the Prattville Pride. You know, Christmas is all about the incarnation, God sending his son, God taking on human flesh and humbling himself. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to, but emptied himself, becoming and taking on flesh and becoming a man and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because, as we think of Christmas, God so humbled himself that he would become a man, that he would be a little baby, that he'd take on human flesh. He'd go through all the things that you and I go through with being hungry, with being thirsty, with being tired, with being hot, with being cold, all those things. He never experienced those things before as God. That's why he laid those things aside. But we're supposed to have a humble attitude. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And can you imagine having in a Christmas parade, the Prattville Pride, Gay Pride, Pride Month. God is opposed to the proud. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. You talk about ruining a good event. Well, that's going to be ruined with this pride, Prattville Pride. That's in the insanity department. How about this one? You know, we've all been talking about the murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, gunned down on the streets in Manhattan. Well, they've arrested the guy that they think did it. And Piers Morgan had a panel on his program, and he was talking to Taylor Lorenz. Taylor Lorenz, who's an ex-Washington Post reporter, a left-wing journalist, and she was rejoicing over the murder of Brian Thompson, a husband and father of two. This was the exchange between Piers Morgan and Taylor Lorenz.
"I'm not alone," you said. "Healthcare executive down with party balloons," was on an ex post that you commented on. Why would you be in such a celebratory mood about the execution of another human being? Aren't you supposed to be on the caring, sharing left where, you know, you believe in the sanctity of life?
I do believe in the sanctity of life. And I think that's why I felt, along with so many other Americans, joy, unfortunately, you know, because it
joy?
Feels like...
Serious?
I mean...
Joy in
I
a man's execution?
Maybe not joy, but certainly not, no, certainly not empathy. Because again...
We're watching the footage. How can this make you joyful? This guy's a husband, he's a father, and he's being gunned down in the middle of Manhattan. Why does that make you joyful?
Of Americans that be murdered. So are the tens of thousands of Americans, innocent Americans, who died because greedy health insurance executives like this one push a policies of denying care to the most vulnerable people. And the many millions of Americans that have watched people that I care about suffer and in some cases die because of lack of health care.
So should they all be killed then? Should they all be killed, these healthcare executives? Would that make you even more joyful?
No, that would not.
But why not?
And,
why are you laughing?
I think because, here's, because it doesn't, it wouldn't fix
you
the system.
You seem to find the whole thing hilarious.
I find.
So that was Piers Morgan talking to Taylor Lorenz. She was laughing. She did find joy in the fact that this guy, Brian Thompson, you know, whether you love what he does or hate what he does, nobody deserves to be shot and murdered. You know, you commit a crime and you forfeit your right to live, but that's going to come in a court of law. That's going to come. The government doesn't bear the sword for nothing, but it's not... It's not in our purview to take on vigilante justice and just go shoot people because we don't like them. And then for this person to celebrate that, and she said, it gives me joy. And then she backtracked. She said, well, not joy. I shouldn't have said joy. Just awful. So we go back to the heart of man, But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come, the Lord tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Now, Romans chapter 1 tells us, gives us another list of people that do horrible things. Once they reject God, they're filled with all unrighteousness, the Lord says, all wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Second one on there, second time, disobedient to parents. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. When you dishonor your parents and you're disobedient as a child to your parents, that's serious business, because we learn as a young child growing up, we give honor to our parents, we obey our parents because God has put our parents in authority over us, and we have to learn how to yield to authority. That is very, very important. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you. We've talked about reminiscing and making memories, especially at Christmas, and being able to gather and remember those wonderful times. Yeah, the hard times are part of life, but we remember how God is faithful even through the hard times. And with the sanity and insanity, we're seeing some sane things, we're seeing some insane things taking place. The Daniel Perry verdict was Daniel Penny, I'm sorry, was a great victory for sanity. So give me a call after the break. Let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are taking your calls and opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about making memories and the importance of getting out there and doing things that that will create those memories for your family, for your friends. You know, I was thinking about this too. If you are alone this Christmas and you don't, maybe your family is gone, or you're separated from your family for whatever reason, and you don't, I mean, it's just a lonely time. We talked about that. Dr. Chris Schroeder and I, before Thanksgiving, we talked about surviving the holidays and what do you do if if this is a tough time of year for you, here's something that you do. You get out there and you start investing in other people. So I was talking to one of my buddies that was at the basketball reunion, and he told me, he said, you know, I've been dealing with things in my own life, and I've been so inwardly focused that getting the word out for this reunion and being involved in that helped me to get outside of myself. And he said, you know, that was good for me. And I was reminded of something Carl Menninger, the great psychiatrist, said one time when he was asked the question, what would you recommend to somebody who's feeling a nervous breakdown coming on? They're just so down and depressed. And he said, I'd tell them to do this. I'd tell them to get out of their house and go do something for somebody else. Go mow a neighbor's yard. Go help some older person with some chores and some things. If you'll do something for someone else, you'll be amazed at what that does for you, because you quit thinking about yourself and you start thinking about others. And one of the ways to make memories is to do things for other people. And so if you're alone this December, this Christmas season, find somebody, maybe a single mom, that you can do something for her. You can mow her yard. You can run some errands. You can help her. My daughter Amy was traveling. Amy and Travis were traveling from Houston to North Carolina. They left on Saturday. They got to the airport. They have two little kids. Jack is 3 and Chase is 1.5 years. And they get to the airport. Flight leaves at 7:30, Houston Intercontinental Airport, George Bush Airport. And so you have to get there and park your car. And I mean, they left it. I think they got the kids up at 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. The flight is delayed, 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 delayed. They didn't take off till 3 p.m. Chase was kind of sick and crying the whole time. I mean, it's just awful. It's so difficult. And, you know, when you travel with little kids, other passengers hate it because they say, oh, these kids are screaming the whole time. It's just going to be awful. I've had those feelings too. But here's the thing. The parents are just as frustrated and upset as you are, if not more, because they're their kids and they want their kids to be quiet. Why don't you help them? Why don't you pray for them? Why don't you ask yourself, what can I do to be help to you and not a critic of your parenting? And so it makes a huge difference when you get out of your own comfort zone and you say, I'm going to do something for someone else. Give, Jesus said, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, they will be measured to you in return. That is true financially, and that is true with just serving and being a blessing. And so make it your goal this Christmas to be a blessing to everyone you meet. It doesn't cost you anything, as Coach Pache taught me. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice and kind to people. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. You know, that's the only way that you can work your way through the holidays when you're alone by yourself, is to serve other people. It's yes. So easy, but we're a lazy society. We want to sit up in an air-conditioned environment, click channels, and be entertained until our eyes bleed, and it's a problem with society. And, you know, I was thinking about what you said earlier about the parade people. You know, these perverts come out of the woodworks, just like in the days of Noah, and we're warned about the days of Noah. What those 10 people can do is they can just have the mayor announce that he's going to either change the name of the parade or get it private sponsored, or pull security. So there's not going to be any, if there won't be any police security, The people will have the rod of the fool on their backs if they try to come through their town. And is that earning are they reaping what they're sowing that way? And then the United Healthcare guy, is he reaping what he sowed by, you know, doling out his tyranny about pulling all the support for insurance? I know how this is myself. I had a wreck and supposed to be covered by Allstate. And they refused to cover my policy because they made up a lie after they assessed my car value, saying that we merged in the same lane together at the same time. I said, when did you come up with that? And it was just a week after I asked for extra after we assessed the value of my car, okay, got the total loss out of the way. Now, what about the car rental? You stalled me for 4 or 5 months, and I want you to pay for the car rental. Oh, we don't do that. Yeah, and I want you to, I took 2 days off of work to take care of this claim and call and call and call. So I know what this fellow with the broken neck has gone through, and I'm not saying that I condone what he is purported as to be having been done, if he is the guy or not. But we've seen so many psyops in this country in the last 15 years. I don't even believe it. You know what I mean? But reaping and sowing, we give as we get, as according to the Bible, what the Bible says, right?
Well, you do. So if you sow to the flesh, you from the flesh reap corruption. I think the point on that, Ron, that I was making in the Piers Morgan thing with Taylor Lorenz, we don't rejoice over somebody being murdered. Now, we may rejoice. We rejoice over an election that seems to move in the right direction versus the wrong direction. We can rejoice over an evil dictator taken out of power. We can rejoice when one army defeats another army and the good guys beat the bad guys, so to speak. Israel defeating Hamas, we rejoice over that. But what happened with that United Healthcare CEO was just cold-blooded murder, and that's a violation of the Sixth Commandment, you shall not murder. And, you know, nobody should rejoice over that. Now, God can take out that person, and that person is going to have to pay. So I don't know a lot about that guy and their business dealings. And if their evil practices, there is going to be a day of reckoning, and nobody gets away with sin. And God is the judge, and he will judge rightly. And the Lord has said, Romans chapter 12, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we need to yield ourselves to that. And as we stand up for righteousness, we speak the truth in love, we fight for the unborn and for the causes that are biblical and moral and true and right. We're supposed to do that, and we're going to suffer the consequences for that, as they did in Nazi Germany, and as people will, especially during the tribulation period when the Antichrist is on the throne. Christians will be thrown in prison. Christians will be persecuted. Christians will be murdered and executed by the millions, as the Scripture makes that clear. But we continue to do what is right to the glory of God, and we continue to operate within a framework that pleases the Lord and not displeases the Lord. So I appreciate you calling in, Ron. I appreciate your comments on that that subject. We have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor, pleasure to talk to you. This is
Thank
Marco
you, my
from
friend.
Texas, and I've been listening to you. And I was thinking about all the things you've been saying about that parade and things going on. And with Daniel Penny, he was acquitted of that chokehold with that homeless man.
Mm-hmm.
And BLM came out and called for vigilantes, called for violence. I'm not calling for violence, but I'm calling for my brothers and sisters in Christ, specifically the men, for us to step up as men, as leaders of our homes, of our communities, of our children, of our workplaces, to not only pray, but in boldness to go and speak up when we need to. Like you said, we got to do it in love, but there's also, we can't condone. We can't condone if a wolf is coming to take my child, I'm going
right.
to step in there.
Right.
And we need to use some holy wisdom and not just be doormats.
Right.
It's okay to be a door guy, but not a doormat. and whatever that looks like, we need men to grow some, put on the full armor of God, and not just sit by the wayside. I know God can do anything, and he doesn't need us, but he allows us to be part of the process. And we need to be the Davids of this time.
Right.
We need to be the Samsons of this time. We need to be the men that he called us to be, and that's my comment.
Yeah. Great comment. So here's something to consider, Marco, just along those same lines, and I totally agree with you. God wanted somebody to stand up against Goliath. Could God have not? I mean, he could have killed Goliath with but just a bolt of lightning or struck him dead with a heart attack. But he didn't do that. He was waiting for somebody like David to say, hey, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? I'll go fight him. And so David had to go out on the battlefield. God gave the victory, but David had to show up. He had to be willing to step out of the boat, so to speak, and to walk on the water with Jesus. I have made this statement many, many times to my church, many, many times on the radio. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. So God is waiting for us. Take that step of faith. And when you take the step of faith, as he told Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Roll away the stone. Remember, she didn't want to roll it away. Roll away the stone. Jesus wasn't going to roll away the stone. He wasn't going to do what they could do. But now they couldn't do what he could do. They couldn't say, Lazarus, come forth, and he come out of the grave. So you're exactly right. We need to take that step of faith. We need to trust the Lord and trust him with the results. So Acts chapter 12, James gets arrested by Herod. He gets his head cut off. Peter gets arrested by Herod, and the Lord sends an angel and delivers Peter from the jail and from Herod's decree to kill him. Why is that? Why does one guy die and the other guy gets delivered? We don't know. Strange are the ways of God. We just trust him. We say, Lord, your ways are right concerning everything. You're a lot smarter than I am, and you know what's going on. You see the end from the beginning. I don't, so I just trust you. And if it's in your good plan to take James to heaven and to leave Peter, to deliver Peter so that he can still continue on, then that is your good plan. Stephen was a great preacher. He gets executed, stoned to death, martyred in Acts chapter 7. Why didn't the Lord continue to let him minister? It's in the Lord's plan. It's all the Lord's plan. So we yield and say, as Job said, no purpose of yours, God, can be thwarted. We just yield to that. But you're exactly right, Marco. We have to step up, stand up. And as men, we have to, 1 Corinthians 16, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So God bless you, my brother. I appreciate that comment. We have Sarah on the line from Virginia. Sarah, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hi, thank you, Pastor Shreve. Yes, I just wanted to encourage people, even if you have family and you have a great Christmas, to make sure to try to include those who don't have that, because I think it's easy for people to get busy with their family and all their traditions, and they just pass right by those who don't get to have any of that. And so I think that some of the best memories people can make with their children is showing them how to love other people at Christmas time.
Yes, very good.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sarah. Very good. You know, there are opportunities all around us if we'll just be open to it. And so you've heard me share this before, and it's something I have to remind myself of often. It's what Paige Patterson taught me when I was a first-year student at Southeastern Seminary, and he was the president. He said, guys, pray these three things every day. God, give me an opportunity to witness today. Number two, God, help me to know when that opportunity presents itself, when that person is there in my path, that's the person you want me to talk to. And number three, Lord, help me not to chicken out. How many of us have chickened out? We sense that the Holy Spirit is saying, talk to that person about Jesus, and we chicken out. And so if we'll make that part of our daily prayer, God, today, give me an opportunity to tell somebody about you. And Lord, help me to know when that person is before me, and help me not to chicken out. Now, I had one of my mentors in my Christian life, Everett Sheffy, who's with the Lord now. He was such a great witness. He would just look at opportunities to share Christ with people, and he was constantly sharing the four spiritual laws and telling people about Jesus. And he personally would lead probably 10 to 12 people to faith in Christ every year. Now, that's a lot. Most of us would say that's a lot. For some, you've never led anybody to faith in Christ. Here's the thing. The more you share with people, the more you will see God use you. God will not do what you can do. You can open your mouth and share, and you cannot do what he can do. He can convict the heart, open blind eyes, and bring people to faith in himself. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. It's such a joy for me to be with you. I'll begin with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.